Welcome to this message from Eastwood Baptist Church, one church with two locations in Bowling Green and Alvaton, Kentucky. To learn more, visit eastwoodbc.org. Now, may the Lord bless you in the hearing of His holy word.
As you grab your copy of God's word, go with me to Matthew chapter 5. Did anybody ever tell you that you look like your daddy? Anybody ever? Everybody? Yeah? Yeah? Wes is like, all my life, man. You've got to be Mr. Kerr. You know, you got to be his son. What's your dad's name?
Clint.
You got to be Clint's son, right? Yep. Who else got that? Yeah? You got that? Yeah, you got that for real. No, yep. That's right. Can't mistake a Westbrook, right? Anybody else? Yeah? All right. Look just like dad. That's right. That's right. You know, we're going to have a little fun here for just a moment. All right? Because it's one of those things that some of us just, we come out just looking just like our dad. Now, I'll say more about that in a minute. All right, so we're going to play Guess This Kid's Dad, okay? See if you can guess it. These are celebrities. Any guess who that is? Who is his dad? He's famous. How'd you know? He looks like him, right? That's right, that's Clint Eastwood's son. Wow, that's impressive. All right? All right, if he just had a hat with a cigar, right, and a gun, he'd be, yep. All right, let's see if you can guess this one.
Ice Cube.
You got it. Shannon Yule got Ice Cube. Yeah.
What? I don't even watch him.
Now I've seen it all. Now I've seen it all. Right? You taught at Bowling Green High School, right?
That's
right. Yeah, you can. Yeah, don't sing any of his lyrics. No, we'll have to do church discipline if you sing any of his lyrics. Hey, but he looks so much like his dad. I've not seen the movie, but there's a movie called Straight Outta Compton that shares the story of Ice Cube and NWA, the rap group, and all that. And he played his dad in the movie. He looks so much like him. All right, so all right, let's see who this is. And that's right, John Lennon is his dad. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's pretty clear he's trying to, you know, he's trying to look like his dad. In fact, I found another picture of him where he's got the long hair and the beard and all that stuff, you know, and then they've got a picture of John Lennon just like that. And so he's definitely trying to play it up. I think he's a musician as well. So anyway, yeah, John Lennon's son. He may be a drug addict too. There's a good chance of that, I'm afraid. All right, how about this one? You guys are good. Yeah, that's Tom Hanks. That's his son. Yeah. No doubt. All right. By the way, we just watched Captain Phillips pretty recently. Pretty good flick. Captain Phillips. All right, next up.
Will Smith,
that's right. Now, that was a little harder. He's a little farther away. But if Pastor Will was in here, he'd really get a kick out of that, wouldn't he? All right. And then I think we have one more.
Sammy.
Oh my goodness. It's me. My mom and dad would kill me if they were here tonight. All right. She could be listening. I must have been 2 years old. And, you can see the hair resemblance. I had a fro. Dad had a fro. Dad's rocking the belt. Check out the belt buckle. Just in case he forgets his name, he can look down at his belt. You know? And I must have been probably 2 years old at that time. So I thought that was pretty cool. But, you know, I mean, it's funny today, though, when I stand next to my dad. I mean, I've had my people say, "You sure he's your son?" Because I look more like my mama than I look like my daddy. But nevertheless, you know, guys, as we think about all the ways in which we are, you know, when in physically, right, we look like our parents, don't we? Look like our fathers. We share DNA. We share characteristics. We share mannerisms. I mean, there are probably some things that your wife hates, guys, that you do just like your dad, okay? We just pick up habits from them, and we just become like them. And maybe the same with girls as well and their daddies. But nevertheless, we are to look like our Heavenly Father, all right? Now, one of the things we know, tonight we're going to continue in our series, Life Lessons from the Mountain, walking through the Sermon on the Mount. And tonight, we're still working through the Beatitudes. We have this Beatitude and then one more left. And so we're titling all these, Your Blessed Life Now. We want to have a blessed life now. And the way we do that tonight is by being a peacemaker. So Your Blessed Life Now, the peacemakers. God is a peacemaker. He's shown himself to be that. I mean, let's just brainstorm for just a moment. Stories, passages, moments in the Old Testament when God has proven himself to be a peacemaker. We're going to focus on the Old Testament right now, okay? So what are some of the ways that God has revealed himself, shown himself to be a peacemaker throughout the Old Testament? What are some things you'd bring up?
Between Jacob and Esau.
Okay, Jacob and Esau, that's right. What else would you add? Okay. All right. David and Saul. I'm looking for examples of when God had to make peace, when he worked personally, not just when there was conflict, but when he had to work personally to make peace. Joseph and his brothers, absolutely.
Peter and the soldier.
Yep. That's New Testament. Let's focus on Old Testament here for just a moment. We'll get to the New here in just a minute. The Garden of Eden itself, right? I mean, that's where God, that's the first time we see God revealing himself as a peacemaker, right? When Adam and Eve sinned, God immediately began to put into a plan to bring about peace. Think about the covenant with Israel. You know, the Abraham, every covenant. I mean, you look at all of them. The Abrahamic covenant. The Davidic covenant. The Mosaic covenant, even the Noahic covenant, right? I mean, there, God is making peace. I mean, there was so much war and enmity between God and the people on earth that God destroyed everybody but Noah's people. And in one sense, he was making peace. He was ridding the earth of wickedness. But then on the other side of it, he said, the rainbow in the sky is going to prove that I'm a peacemaker. I'm going to work to make peace. Let's go to the New Testament now. And you mentioned Peter and, was it Malchus? Is that the guy's name? You know, when Jesus was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane there, and Peter jumped up all bold and went to fighting, pulled out a sword and cut off that soldier's ear with a Jewish guard there. Jesus picked up the ear, healed it, told Peter to put up his sword. What other instances can you think of? There are a lot with Jesus' life. Any other instances that you can think of? The what?
Paul and Barnabas.
Okay. Potentially there. There was that split there. Went different directions. What else? Come on, work with me here. Let's think. Okay. Yep. Paul and Apollos, potentially. Absolutely. You think about the sons of thunder, right? When they went to Jesus and said, we want to be first in the kingdom. We want to sit at your right hand. We want to be not first, but we want to be second. Okay, we want to be right there with you. And what did it do? It caused all of the disciples to get upset, right? Who do they think they are? And remember, Jesus came in and he made peace. Think about even on that boat when the storm was raging, right? What did Jesus say? Peace be still. And the whole sea, the Sea of Galilee, ceased to storm. Our God is a peacemaking God. And we are to look like that. Just like you and I look like our earthly daddies, you and I, are, as followers of Jesus, are to look like our heavenly daddy. And so here's tonight's takeaway. Well, first, let's go to Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. Let's look at it right here. Matthew chapter 5, verse 9 is our passage tonight. Is there someone who would read that really loudly for us? Matthew chapter 5, verse 9.
Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God.
There it is. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Now, again, here, it's something that's just foundational with all of these here. You don't become a son of God by being a peacemaker, right? It's not a works righteousness. You don't get into the kingdom of heaven through works. But you prove that you are connected, that you are resembling, that you are walking in the power of the Heavenly Father. You prove to be a son of God when you are a peacemaker. So here's tonight's takeaway. Imitate your Heavenly Daddy every day in every way as a peacemaker. Imitate your Heavenly Daddy every day in every way as a peacemaker. Now let me ask you just a simple question. Is that a tall order? Oh my goodness. We'll talk more about that in a minute, but that's a big thing, right? And so as we're doing this, it's not just you doing it on your own strength and your own power. This is you doing it by the grace of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. So if we're going to do that, if we're going to imitate our Heavenly Daddy every day in every way as a peacemaker, then we need to do three things, and they're all E's tonight. The first E is to experience personal peace with God through Jesus Christ. We have to have that peace with God before we can ever do anything else with anybody else, okay? So as we think about this, we talked about the Garden of Eden just a moment ago, when that peace was shattered and broken. God had a relationship with them. God made human beings to walk with him and to talk with him and to have an intimacy, a friendship there. But Adam and Eve shattered that in their disobedience, right? God said, don't eat from this tree. And yeah, they were deceived by the devil, but yes, they willfully ate. They willfully shattered that peace. And let's look at that. Let's go back for just a moment to Genesis chapter 3. I want you to see this. Genesis chapter 3. And I want you to see right down here, verse 20. Genesis chapter 3, verse 20. God has found them out. Adam tried to blame shift. The woman tried to blame shift. All this stuff. And then God cursed the man, he cursed the woman, he cursed the devil. But notice this, verse 20. The man called verse 21, I'm sorry. And the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skin and clothed them. So even right there in that moment, God began to make peace. And the Old Testament is the entire run-up to the greatest moment, the single point of history, the apex, the climax of history, when God brought about the means of that peace. And the means of that peace is whom? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is that means of peace. Guys, listen to me. You will never have peace with God except through Jesus Christ. You and I have waged war, right? You and I have sinned. We are guilty. We have done all that we've done to store up God's wrath. But I want you to go with me to Romans chapter 3. And here's where we see what God has done in Jesus Christ to bring about peace. Romans chapter 3. You know, this whole chapter here really lays out the depth of humanity's sin. And we're not going to read the whole thing there, okay? But you can see there, just sort of, with everything here, you know, God's righteousness will be upheld. God cannot simply let sin go. He cannot let rebels just go free, right? Sin must be punished. If he is a just God, if he is a righteous God. And so what did he do? Well, let's look at verse 21 and work our way down through this. 21 on down down through verse 26. It says this, but now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe, For there's no distinction. Here it is. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so everybody has broken peace with God. All right? You didn't just come into it. You are part of it. Okay? You are part of the enmity there. Verse 24. And are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time so that he might be just and the justifier of one who has faith in Jesus. There it is, particularly there in verse 25, is the key part here. What Jesus did to bring about that peace. It says, whom God put forward as a what? A propitiation. That's a word we don't use a lot, okay? But it means two things. It's not just the removal of guilt, okay? It's not just saying, all right, you can go free, all right? Because, listen, maybe you've had people in your life that you've said, yeah, I'm not going to get revenge on you, but I will never speak to you again, right? I'm done with you. There's no relationship there, okay? And God could have done that, I suppose. God could have said, I'm not going to punish you. You can go free, but you will never be in my presence again. That's not what God did. He did two stages, right? He not just wiped away our sin. He not just expiated, got rid of our sin, but he propitiated. He extinguished his wrath. He pacified his wrath. He peacified, in other words, his wrath. And that only happens through Jesus Christ. If you're here tonight, I want you to know that if you have never repented and trusted in Christ as your Savior, the wrath of God abides on you. There's only one way to have that peace with God, and that is to experience that through Jesus Christ, repenting and believing on Jesus. When you think about your life, the difference that that's made in your life, anybody just want to testify just for a moment about how that peace with God changed your life? Just throw it open to you for just a moment. I was 17 years old, and when I came to Christ, and it really is just amazing to see the transformation that God has wrought in my life, right? That peace, that relationship, that closeness, walking with Jesus, that intimacy. Now, it's not always perfect, but guys, every one of us should be able to, who are in Christ, should stand and say, the peace of God won for me through Jesus Christ has changed my life. Anybody want to testify for just a moment? We'll move on then. So that's the first step, guys. If we're going to be peacemakers, if we're going to imitate God, then we first have to receive the peace that God has won for us through Jesus Christ, okay? So experience personal peace with God through Jesus Christ. But secondly, here's what we do. If we're going to imitate our heavenly daddy every day in every way as a peacemaker, then secondly, the second E is to express to others how to have peace with God. It doesn't just stop with us, right? When we receive it, we try to pass it on. We try to move it, pay it forward, so to speak. Let's look at Ephesians 6:15. Ephesians 6:15, it has a phrase in here that I think is very important for us to think about. Ephesians 6:15 says this. He's talking about the armor of God here, spiritual warfare and all this stuff. He's talking about all this stuff to put on. We're not going to read the whole passage, but notice this right here. Verse 15. We're supposed to put on these shoes on our feet, these spiritual shoes, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. We've got to be ready to spread that peace, right? We've got to be ready to share. Ready to go. Ready to make a difference. Ready to share with other people about how they can have peace with God also. And you know, there's a lot of time, a lot of things in this life that are barriers to you and me not being ready to share this gospel of peace. What are some of those barriers that you face? Some of the barriers that you face in being ready or maybe being willing to share this gospel of peace. What are some of those barriers?
Rejection.
Okay. Yeah. Right. We're afraid that people will think that we're crazy. We've all been there. And you know what? That's probably the biggest thing, right? Fear is probably the biggest barrier that you and I have. And can I just say, I mean, I've been a preacher now, you know, goodness, let's see. I've been on staff with churches since 2002, so that's 15 years. So 15 years, shared the gospel numerous times, been trained in sharing the gospel numerous times, okay? And I still get nervous when I go to share the gospel, right? And so fear is there. But why should fear not stop us? Why? Because we have God with us. That's right. It does. Yeah, the Bible. We're commanded to not fear. If we're going to be obedient, right? Because we have God on our side. And as we think about them rejecting us, I mean, but really they're not, right? They're rejecting God. What are some other reasons when you think about the barriers that keep you from being ready to express to others how to have peace with God? What other barrier besides fear? What's that?
Sin.
Sin, okay. Yeah, so expand on that a little bit.
Well, I mean the carnal Christian.
Okay. Yeah. So they feel like that they're not a worthy vessel to be telling other people about Jesus when they ain't living for him themselves, right? Yeah, and that can certainly be, you know, that's one of the tactics the devil will use. The devil will try to talk you out of it every time, right? You hypocrite. Keep your mouth shut. Don't say a word. But we have to remember, right, just a moment ago, that we've been justified by faith, right? The blood of Jesus is our propitiation, okay? And if we've been justified, that means that we've not just had our sins washed away, but justified means that we have been made righteous, right? That's that imputation, that's that trade that happened when Jesus took our sin and gave us his righteousness. And so when the devil says, you're not worthy to tell anybody else about this, our answer should be, Jesus is worthy, and I'm standing in his worth, right? So we shouldn't let that stop us. What's another barrier that often happens when it comes to sharing this? Okay, that's right. Oh, yeah, right. Good. Right, that's right. And there will be times when people are going to throw questions at us or things like that. But here's what they're trying to do. We have to realize this, is they're actually trying to change the subject. Aren't they? They're trying to change the subject. You're trying to talk about Jesus, and they want to bring up everything else. You know, about how the Bible this, the Bible that. But you can't get around the central truth of the Bible is that Jesus Christ raised from the dead, right? That's a fact. We can't get around that. And if you'll just stick to those things, that central thing, don't chase the rabbits. Say, I'll find that answer, or we can talk about that in a moment. But right now, I'm talking about how Jesus Christ lived the life you cannot live, died the death that you deserve, and rose again from the dead to prove that he paid it all, okay? Don't let them change the subject on you. And don't worry, again, if you don't have all the answers. You know, how many times have y'all been there before and God just gives you the answer? You're like, I don't know where that came from. That's what God does, right? He puts words into our mouth. The Holy Spirit does that. Any other barriers that you can think of that keep you from expressing to others how to have peace with God?
With my dad, I'm afraid I'll push him away farther than what he is.
Okay. Boy, that's a big one, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. And we, you know, that's one of those things that takes discernment, you know, because it's true, we can, right? We can be so overbearing and so vinegar, right? That we just, you know, and so we have to find that balance, all right? It can't always be about how they're a sinner going to hell, okay? You have to pick the moments. You got to know when's the best time. And just, and God will give you guidance in that. But here's the thing, remember, and what's the antidote to that? What have you really got to lose, really? Right? You have everything to gain. Right? So we try to be as winsome as we can, as wise as we can in doing it, okay? Winsome and wise in timing and all that. But at the same time, we can't risk not telling them because Jesus is their only hope. And yeah, there may be a time where it's really awkward. I've been there. You know, I mean, Christy, how many years did we witness to, you know, my dad, for instance, you know, how many years? Years, you know. You know, in 2015 when he trusted Christ, you know, I mean, there was a lot of time there and a lot of times where, you know, he and I'd be in a car together and I'm chewing on that lip saying, man, should I say something right now? Is this the time? And God would give me moments and I pray that God would give you moments because I know that's a heavy burden on your heart. And maybe you have somebody on your heart that's a heavy burden in that regard and you don't want to scare them away. You don't want to push them too far. But at the same time, you've got to share with them when God gives you that moment because you love them, right? You don't want to see them die and go to hell. And secondly, God's commanded you. God's commanded you to be a missionary right where you are. Yeah, Deborah.
We're studying Romans.
Yep.
In BSF, and Romans 1:14, Paul said, I'm obligated both to the Greeks and the non-Greeks, to the wise and the foolish. And that's why I'm so eager to preach the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
He's obligated. We're obligated.
We are obligated. In fact, 2 Corinthians chapter 15 shares with us that obligation that we have been given a ministry. 2 Corinthians 5, 18 through 20. Look at that. We have been given a ministry. All this is from God, it says, who through Christ reconciled us to himself. So there it is. There's the first step, right? We just talked about experiencing personal peace with God through Jesus Christ. But now comes that second where we express to others how to have peace with God. Here it is. And gave us the ministry of reconciliation. In other words, he gave us the ministry of peacemaking between God and man. That's what reconciliation is. It's bringing enemies together. It's restoring a relationship that was broken. And that's what you and I are to do. Continuing on there, verse 19. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting us the message of reconciliation. That's what the gospel is, right? We talk about, it goes by different names, right? It's the gospel of reconciliation. It's the good news. It's all these things. But it's the way that God and man is brought together. And he has given us that ministry, the message of reconciliation. Verse 20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. That's our ministry. That's our calling. That's how we imitate our Heavenly Father, is by expressing to others how to have peace with God. And verse 21, just to finish that up there, tells us what we're to tell them. For our sake, God made Jesus to be sin who knew no sin, so that we might, in Jesus, become the righteousness of God. That's the good news right there, right? Jesus the innocent died for us the guilty, so that we could be innocent. That's beautiful. That's a beautiful message. I can't think of a better message to tell somebody. Can you? Well, we can talk about a lot of stuff. We can talk about the weather. We can talk about sports. We can talk about our kids, grandkids, our jobs, and all this other stuff. But is there a better topic, a better thing to talk about than that? There's not. Just imagine if no one had told you. Just think about all those folks that took the risk and expressed to others, or expressed to you, how to have peace with God. And I pray that we would be that. That we would do the same as we would do unto others as we would have done to us, right? And it's not just the preacher, okay? My job is to not be the only evangelist in the church, right? My job is to equip you to be an evangelist with me. Right? I get to be an evangelist too, but my job is to equip you to go out and be an evangelist. I just wonder if every one of us set as our goal this year to win one person to Jesus Christ. Like, it's like one person or bust, right? Just imagine if we set that as our goal, as our ambition. Now, to do that, that means we got to do a lot of expressing, right? We got to tell a lot of people. It's like fishing, right? How many worms do you often lose before you get that one fish, okay? But you've got to do it. You've got to be out there. You will never see people come to Christ unless you express to them how to have that peace with God. And then finally tonight, if you're going to imitate your heavenly daddy every day in every way as a peacemaker, then finally the third E is that you have to extend God's peace into all relationships. Now, here's where it gets really hard. Because it's easy to make peace with God if, you know, because he's done all the work. He's done all the work. He's done it all. Jesus did it. He lived the life. He suffered and died. He rose again. And our job is just to go tell people. And God does the saving and all that. But extending God's peace into all your relationships, that's hard. That's tough. So how do we do that? Let me give you just four things real quickly. One is, don't be a peace breaker, right? I mean, that's what our flesh wants to do, right? Our flesh wants to blow up. Our flesh wants to blow up, to get angry, all that. And don't get me wrong, there is righteous anger, but we can also sin in our anger. So the first thing, if we're going to extend God's peace into all relationships, don't be a peace breaker. You know, it's not been that long ago that we did a whole series on this, right? Being a peacemaker. So I'm not going to go into the details on that. Refer back to Ken Sandy's diagrams and all that we talked about, okay? Don't be a peace breaker. But secondly, don't be a peace faker. Don't be a peace faker. Don't just sweep it under the rug. Don't just act like everything's okay. Because when you fake peace, eventually you will be a peace breaker. You're going to blow up. It's going to happen. You're going to get fed up, tired, and you can't take it anymore, and doggone it, you're about to give somebody what they deserve. All right? So don't be a peace faker. Don't hide it. Don't run away. Don't clam up. Deal with those problems. Be a peace maker instead of a peace breaker and a peace faker. Third, I would say this to you. Love your enemies. Now, We're here in Matthew chapter 5. Let's just go a few verses. We'll talk more about this in coming weeks. But Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 through 45. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 through 45. Somebody read that for us real loud.
You heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemies. But I tell you, love your enemies. Children of your Father in heaven, because his Son to rise on the evil and the good, and send rain on the righteous and the unrighteous.
All right. So there's a connector between this and blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. What's the connector? Sons of God, right? It's in both verses there. All right. So we think about being a peacemaker. then there's a direct correlation here, just a few verses later here, that we are to love our enemies. Now, those are the people who we don't have peace with, right? Those are the people who are out to get us. Those are the people that we try to avoid. Those are the people that we make us so angry and we want to get revenge on, and we fantasize about, you know, just doing whatever, you know, choking them, punching them, all this other stuff, okay? That's what our flesh wants to do. But Jesus says instead, this is radical, that we are to love our enemies, to love them. Why? Because that's exactly what he did, right? Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Listen to this. This is so good. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 tells us this. But God shows his love for us that while we were still sinners, or in other words, while we were still enemies, Christ died for us. Right? He stepped out. He loved his enemies. And we're to do the same. And then finally, I would say this. How do you extend God's peace into all your relationships? Humble yourself. Humble yourself. It's not all about you. Find a way to serve people. Find a way to make an impact, right? Oftentimes, you have to be the first one. You know, we got to be the big person in the situation, okay? Humble ourselves. Let your pride fall. And go and make peace. Eat humble pie or eat crow or whatever word you want to use there, whatever phrase, okay? The final thing just here, last few minutes together here, what if people still hate you? Try to make peace, and yet there is still enmity there. In other words, are we to have peace at all costs? Let me remind you, Romans chapter 12, verse 18. Romans 12, verse 18 says this. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. So what he's saying here is that sometimes it's not possible. Sometimes it's not possible. Why is it sometimes not possible? Well, sometimes it's not possible because of abiding sin in another person, right? They're just going to continue to mistreat you. They're just going to continue to do what they're doing, right? They're not going to repent. They're not going to come together. They're not going to reconcile. And so there's abiding sin in that person. So that sometimes that makes it impossible. But also, sometimes it's impossible because we cannot compromise truth. Now, that's one of our temptations sometimes, to fake peace by just saying, we're not talking about truth. You can have your truth and I'll have my truth. But Jesus said, at one point, you think I came to bring peace? This is in Matthew 10. You think I came to bring peace? I tell you, I came to bring a sword. I came to turn mamas against their daughters and daddies against their sons and neighbor against neighbor. Because that's what truth does. So it's not peace at all costs. We cannot compromise on truth. Love cannot condone falsity. It cannot. We must stand on truth. But as much as it's possible. If there will be no peace, then it can't be because of us. It has to be because of them. We must do everything in our power within the bounds of God's commandments to live at peace with others. Guys, this isn't optional. This is not optional. Again, remember what our text says? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called what? Sons of God. This is how we prove, this is how we show, this is how we demonstrate that we really are sons of God. And here's my prayer. I pray it would be your prayer. May people watch you all make peace and say they are just like their daddy.
Hi there, this is Pastor Ben. I have something really important to ask you, but first, I want to say thank you for taking the time to make this digital connection with us through our podcast. I hope the message you just listened to was a blessing, but an even greater blessing than this digital connection would be for you to connect with us in person this coming Sunday at one of Eastwood's two campuses where we get the joy of living life together in Jesus' name. And now for that really important question, which is the most important question you'll ever answer. Where do you stand before God? Now, based on what you've done, the straightforward answer is that you stand guilty and condemned before God. You are a sinner who completely deserves God's wrath forevermore in hell. And I deserve the same thing also. I mean, every person does. Guys, that's terrible news. And even worse is the fact that there's nothing you can do in and of yourself to change that. You need a Savior. But I have good news. God loved the world so much that he sent Jesus to be your Savior. Jesus came and lived the perfect life that you cannot live, and he stood condemned on the cross, dying the death you deserve. And 3 days later, Jesus was raised from the dead to prove to everybody that he is indeed the Savior of the world. And now Jesus longs to change your standing before God by making a trade with you. He desires to take what you've earned, which is the wrath of God in hell, and to give you in return what he has earned, which is the blessing of God in heaven. When this trade happens, instead of standing guilty and condemned before God, you will stand forgiven and righteous with the promise of everlasting life. So what must you do to have your standing before God changed? First, admit to God you are a sinner. Second, hate your sins, turn from them, and ask God to forgive you. And finally, turn to Jesus in faith and love, putting your complete hope in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and follow him until the day you die. Wherever you are listening to this podcast, Jesus is ready to make this trade with you, and I pray that you would trust in Jesus and be saved. Thank you again for connecting with us, and I hope to see you soon at Eastwood Baptist Church.